thought where I think that our church needs tonight, and then we're going to go eat the ribs or the spam, whichever one you got. And I'm going to go play, kids. 91 degrees this evening when we was going our way back to church. So good time to play out in the water, isn't it? 1 Corinthians. And look at verse number, chapter 12, and verse number 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 25. Sure is good to have Brother Bridges and his wife with us tonight. Wave your hand over our brother. Down there, they used to visit with us a lot down near Gastonia. What a blessing it is to have them. And all of you who are visiting tonight, I'm going to give you just a little thought about where we go from here. What ought to be our goals and dreams for the next few months and days and years. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse number 25. That there should be no schism in the body. All you Christians, listen to this. The Lord wants us to be one body. Not a little group over here, a little group over here, a little group over here that don't speak to each other. There'd be no schism in the body. But that the members, look at it. Everybody looking at the King James Bible? The members should have the same care one for another. You know, so say, well, I like them, so I'll help them, but I don't like them, so I won't help them. We're supposed to have the same care one for another. That's one of the hardest things you'll do in the Christian life is treat everybody the same like Jesus would, not just based on whether or not you like them or not. Look at verse number 26. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Wouldn't that be a great church? When one suffers, we all suffer. When one be honored, we all rejoice with it. If one member of the church gets a new car, everybody ought to say, glory to God, I'm happy for you. Not, boy, where's he getting all that money? He must be stealing from work. That ain't the way he's supposed to act. If you get rid of that sorry attitude, Lord might give you a nice car. If one member be honored, then all the members rejoice with it. If somebody gets bragged on or honored, be happy for them. Don't be jealous. Now, verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Now, I talked this morning, for you that were not here, on the blessings of God. God's been good to us in our blessings. God's been good to us in our battles. God's been good to us in our buses. God's been good to us in our burdens. And God's been good to us in our buildings. God's been good to us in all of those things. Now tonight, I want to talk about maybe how we ought to be doing each other and the Lord. Just quick, I'm going to preach like 10 minutes and I'll be done. I want you to listen very quick tonight. Just a few little thoughts. We need to understand that a church is set up by God and ordained. Don't think I'm being vain or anything like when I say what I'm getting ready to say. But a church has an order in it, like the home has an order. In the home, there's an order. There's the husband, there's the wife, there's the children. Now, you can like that or lump it. You can jump up and down, scream, holler, kick the slats out of your crib, spit your pacifier out, do whatever you want to do. But God ordained an order in the home. I mean, that's all there is to it. I know that the world's full of women that says, I ain't going to be under no man. That way you always have been, you always will be. Because God said it that way. I didn't make the rules. I'm just preaching the Bible. God made the husband to be the head of. You ladies ought to jump up and down and shout. You know why? Because he'll have to answer for the whole thing. All you got to do is answer for being faithful and following the nut. And then he'll have to answer to God for all them decisions. That's right. And so God had an order in the home. And then God has an order in the church. He has a pastor, and then he has deacons and officers as the church appoints him. The pastor, which happens to be me in this case, and I'm not saying this because I'm a preacher, I'm saying this because it's the Bible. The pastor is an example. The pastor is not a dictator. It's not my job to boss everybody around. The pastor is not a boss. He is a leader. Yeah. We're to lead. We're to lead God's people. In other words, I'm not supposed to stand up here and give you orders and not do nothing myself. I shouldn't tell you to do something that I'm not willing to do myself. If I tell you to pray, I ought to pray. If I tell you to read your Bible, I ought to read my Bible. Amen? And that bothers me. You believe me? When I preach y'all, I preach to myself. Don't you doubt it. I say, hey, big boy, you preach it to them. Preach yourself that sermon. I know a lot of preachers that just stand up and say, well, did anybody do this? They say, well, I'm a preacher. I don't have to. That ain't the way it works. We are to lead, lead, lead. On the other hand, you have a responsibility to follow, follow, follow. Give you a couple of illustrations right quick. I've been on the telephone dealing with two different independent Baptist churches this week. And there's lots of trouble in both of these churches. As a matter of fact, one of these churches, the pastor has already had to resign and leave the church. They had some trouble, and some of the members in the church started grumbling about the way the pastor was handling some of the decisions. And this one fellow come up, and he said, Pastor, I don't agree with the way you do this and that. And here's what that fellow's philosophy was. He said this. He said, you are just responsible for the preaching, for the spiritual things in the church. He said, the church makes all the other decisions. And he said this. Now, that's your typical Southern Baptist, Free Will Baptist way of thinking in this part of the country. The church makes the decision. Now, that all sounds well and good. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. Nothing runs like that. Nothing does. Everything, every school, every factory, every move, everything you, somebody is calling the shots somewhere. And it's in a church where they said, well, our pastor, he just not a member, we make the decision. That means one of them old deacons somewhere is running that thing, and everybody does what he wants to do. Listen, I don't know a lot about a lot of things, but I know something about church. I've been doing this since I was 19 years old. I go to 30 different churches a year, a lot of different states. I know a little bit about how churches operate. And I'm going to tell you something. In every church where you work, did you know where you work, somebody's the boss? That don't mean they're always right. That means somebody, you got to be accountable to somebody, and somebody calling the shots. And that same way, like a woman told me, she said, well, I don't do what my husband said. And I said, well, who makes the decision? She said, we both do. I went, ha, ha, ha. I ain't stupid enough to believe that. There ain't no we both do. That means you pitch a fit till you get your way. That's what that means. Say amen right there. Say amen right there. That's right. You say, well, he's got to tell me what to do. Oh, it's your job to tell him then, right? Well, why do we have to do it his way? Why do we have to do it your way?
Come on, bro.
Everyone said, well, I don't see why we have to do it his way. I don't see why we have to do it yours either. You say, well, what if he wants it one way and I want to do that? Do what the Bible says. How about that? You don't like that, do you? You know why? Because you're a rebel at heart. And you will not do what God said. You will not. You little brat that never got married to start with. If you want to make your own decision and live your own life. And one lady told me, she said, well, I'm not going to give up my independence. Then don't get married. I wasn't planning on preaching on marriage, and I'm preaching on pastoral authority. But if you're visiting here tonight, I don't always do this. I'm just telling you, there's got to be a setup. There's got to be a setup. When old Jack Wood said, he said, my job ain't to be a dictator. My job's to keep you from being one. And that's the truth. That's the truth. And I said, well, the pastor's not a dictator. You know why they say that? Because they want to be the dictator. And so tonight, there is a setup. I'll tell you the story of two churches right quick. One church, this might be a little longer than 10 minutes. I'm going to tell you this story right quick. I'm sorry. Listen, I'll move fast if you'll listen to me. A church in another state. One of these churches in another state. One of them's in North Carolina. The first one's in another state. They come to the pastor. They said, Pastor, well, and they started having some trouble in the church. They started disagreeing with the way the pastor was handling the finances. And he didn't go around spending money and not telling people and stuff like that. You know, do stuff like that. Anytime. Well, I mean, we have to make financial decisions, like putting these water slide and stuff out here. I don't think anybody got a problem with that. But when it comes to a lot of money, then we talk about it. You know, we have a meeting and we talk about it. That's the way that it operates. And I'll tell you something else. I'm not going to do anything that the church is not happy about, really. I mean, if it comes to right and wrong, I will. If it's doing something right, you can never one jump in the lake, as far as I'm concerned, because we're going to do what the Bible says. That's right. But when it comes to just personal opinion on stuff, I'm not going to go against all of y'all. We all work together, right? And so he was making decisions, and they didn't like it. And I'll tell you where the trouble started. It started on Nosebook. Sure did. Man told me, he said, it all started. He said, that preacher told me that him and his wife was getting rid of their Nosebook. And they call it Facebook. And it's nosy for nosy people. And he said, they told me that they was getting rid of it. And he said, the other women in the church started putting stuff on Facebook, little hints like, and it hurt the preacher's wife's feelings. And he said, what they'll do, Brother Danny, he said, they'll put stuff on Facebook that they'd never say to your face. They would never come right up and say, well, I think this, but they'll put it on Facebook. Like, a lot of people in our church think da-da-da-da-da. A lot of people don't like da-da-da-da-da, and it's obvious who they're talking about. And then I'm not saying it's a sin to have a Facebook. I'm saying it's like anything else. It can be a blessing, it can be a curse. It's like TV, radio, or anything else. And I'm going to tell you tonight, if you have it, if you want to slam somebody, if you ain't got enough guts to come up and say it to their face, just don't put it on the internet for all your little backslid friends to read and cause trouble in the house of God. And the pastor's wife got her feelings hurt. She really, really, really got her feelings hurt. And the pastor said, he said, I don't want my wife to leave me. And then so they had a big mess, and the pastor had to resign his church and left it. And it was a good church, a growing church. And it turned into a big mess. And he went off, took a couple weeks vacation, and he come back, and they wouldn't even let him preach. It come back on Wednesday night, and they said, Pastor, you're not preaching tonight. We've made other arrangements, and tomorrow night we're having a meeting. And they had already been getting together and talking. Now, here's the way I was taught, and I'm not saying this because I'm a pastor. I preach this in revivals. Here's the way I was taught, and I believe it's biblical and right. We don't have no meetings about the pastor without the pastor. Amen? Amen. If a man don't have enough guts to say, preacher, I've got a problem, then he ain't got no business calling so-and-so and calling so-and-so and calling so-and-so. Come on over, let's talk about it. What he's trying to do is get people on his side to overthrow the pastor, and 9 times out of 10, because he wants to be the pastor. I'm going to tell you something, brother. It ain't going to work like that, brother. I may be little, but I'm tough, I'm telling you. I'm made out of leather, brother. And I've faced meaner people than you are. Well, I don't know. Maybe. Listen, I tell you what, brother. I've been down the road. It don't bother me to butt heads. I mean, I've had them stand out. Well, I had a fellow standing outside my office one time, and he'd been standing out there for 2 hours. And I've been in there, the meeting, hot and heavy, everybody fussing, cussing, and everything else. And I come out, and he said, I want to ask you some questions. And I said, I want to ask you some first. And kept on walking. Amen, brother, amen. He ain't got no business nosing in my life. I mean, he had a worse life than I did. And I'm going to tell you what tonight, brother, you hear me? We don't have no meetings about the pastor without the pastor. Amen. Another church. Y'all know this church, good church, loves the Lord. This just happened this week. I was on the phone with the pastor on the way down here tonight. He comes here every year. And shut up, I ain't telling you who it is. Right. And I'll tell you something, brother. You listen. I'm going to tell you. He called me the other day. He said, Brother Danny, pray. Brother Danny, pray. He said, my treasurer. He said, I've been having people in the church coming to me saying, treasurer runs the church. Treasurer runs the church. And he said, the treasurer took all the money and took it home. And he said, I'm the pastor. He said, I don't never know how much money we got. I don't know where it's being spent. He said, I don't know. He said, we've been trying to buy some stuff for Bible school and put we'll work on the bus and stuff. He said, I don't even know what's going on. And he said, so I talked to my treasurer. And I said, brother, I said, why don't you count that money here at church? He said, no, I ain't going to do that. He said, I'll take it home and count it. I ain't going to stay here all night counting money. And they're offering ain't but $500 a week. It don't take that long to count $500. And so he said, brother, he said, I want you to stay here at church and count that money. And the guy said, I ain't going to do it. I'll just resign. And he said, well, I don't want to. They're supposed to be good friends. And so this Saturday evening, yesterday, they called him and they said, the men of the church are having a meeting, Pastor. And that guy went and told all the men of the church, we're going to meet. And called the pastor and said, come on.
What's worse, mosquitoes or mosquito spray? Try the new design of Off Clip-On Repellent. Lab tests show this sprayless repellent really repels. In minutes, its fan surrounds you from head to toe with effective odorless protection. So don't spray it on, clip it on. Off Clip-On keeps bugs off.
S.C. Johnson, a family company.
Come on over here, we're going to talk about this thing. Well, he walked in there thinking, Lord, they're going to fire me. Lord, they're going to run me off. He'd done been through one split. And he said, I'm going down through here. And he said, I come down here like this. He said, treasurer looked at me. He said, I don't feel like this is right. He said, I don't think you have the authority to tell me how and where I got to count the money. He said, I've called this meeting. He said, I think the church ought to vote on it. And the pastor looked back at him and he said, brother, I don't mean to be rude or anything. He pulled out the bylaws, which usually bylaws are useless if I'm anything going by the Bible. And he pulled out the bylaws. The bylaws said the pastor has the authority to make decisions about things like that in Sunday school and administration and stuff like that. And he said, I do have the right to ask you to count the money at the church. And that guy bucked him, and he told me just a while ago on the phone, he said, Brother Danny, everything worked out. He said, the treasurer resigned. He said, he left the church. He said, I hate it because me and him was good friends. But he said, every man in my church stood by me. He said, every one of my men, they said, Pastor, we're for you. They said, Pastor, you're not doing anything wrong. They said, you made this decision. If this is a decision you make, we'll stand with you. I said, praise God, brother. That's the way it's supposed to operate. Now, who was right and who was wrong and where the money ought to be kept, that ain't the issue. The issue is those men said, hey, you say this, my pastor said this, we're going to follow the man that God put in here. And God will bless a church that'll follow the pastor that God's given them. And I never preach like this. Please, y'all, don't think that I'm trying to be something. I'm not. I think you ought to talk to your pastor about three things. I think people ought to talk to their pastor about their marriage. And I think they ought to talk about moving. And I think they ought to talk to him about their money. I think if you get married, you ought to come to your pastor and talk to him about it. And the very fact you don't come to your pastor and talk to you about it is in the back of your mind, you're thinking he might not be there. You're showing a little guilt of your conscience right there. Say amen. Listen, if I was going to get married, I'd go to my pastor. He's about 90-something years old. I'd go to somewhere and I'd say, what do you think? Tell me. And I mean, don't just say, well, if I ask him, he ain't going to say this. If I ask him, I just do what I want to. If I was going to get married, I'd ask my pastor. And I'm not saying this so I can be a dictator. I don't want to know all your business. I'm just saying if I was a member, I'd ask my pastor. I'd ask my pastor about moving. I really would. I wouldn't take a job off somewhere and not ask my pastor about how he felt about it. I'd find out if there's a good Bible-believing church. Thank you. Amen now, brother. And I listen, you back me up, won't you? He's got a gun, bless God. I dare any one of you to come up here and say something. Who are you anyway? Where'd he come from? Oh, is that one of Melly's best kids? No, it's, what's her name, kid? Amen. I don't know who the hell these kids are. But you know what? What was I talking about? About moving. About moving. You ought to talk to your pastor. I've got a job offer here. I want to know how you feel. You ought to talk to him about your marriage. You ought to talk to him about moving. This could be a whole sermon. You ought to talk to him about your money. Brother Andy back there. Brother Andy, raise your hand, Brother Andy. Brother Andy and Miss Caitlin, they've only been married, what, a year or so? Something like that. They come to me the other day and said, Brother Danny, we want to talk to you. We sat down in there in my office. He said, I've got an opportunity to get a house. He said, this is a good. He told me how much it's going to cost and all that. He said, what do you think about it? That's good. That's a smart thing to do, really. I mean, he knows I've done messed up and made a lot of financial mistakes. I can help him. And it's just good to seek guidance from you. That's what the pastor's for. Please don't get me wrong. I don't want you calling me about every little thing. I got enough to do, really. Don't call me. But when it's something important, when it's a big decision, you need some mentorship, brother, mentorship. You need some, I'll tell you, that's what a church ought to be. We ought to be a church where you can say, and I'll tell you something else. We ought to be a church where you can say, I can ask my pastor anything and he ain't going to condemn me. And I can tell him anything and he ain't going to go blab it. And by the grace of God, if you tell me to keep it quiet, by His grace, I'll do it. Yeah. I've had people tell me, they said, Brother Danny, I can't talk to my pastor. He goes straight and blabs it to his wife, and she tells the whole church.
Yeah.
Some things ain't as bad as we thought, are they? Sometimes preachers' wives curse. Well, this is good. I've had people come up and say, and this is showing maturity on your part. I've had people, I come in on Sunday, and usually I get hit two or three times when I come in, not physically, but might as well, for money and stuff like that. This is wrong, that's wrong. Somebody wants to fuss about something. And I had somebody come up to me not long ago, and they said, Brother Danny, I don't want to bother you before you preach, but da-da-da-da-da. That is very, very mature and respectful. If you knew how it tears up a man's heart and stomach to get all upset before you have to preach. I'm telling you, it's the devil. Yeah. I used to have people up in Marion, and it's the same people all the time want to fuss about something. And I remember pulling in the church parking lot on Sunday evening, and they'd be standing right there in my parking place. And my stomach would get sick. I go, oh, Lord, what is it now? And as soon as I get out of the car, they'd start coming toward me. It's like the devil was in them. And they'd say, I need to talk to you. I want to say, will you leave me alone? But I didn't. I'm telling you, it's rough. You ever been trying to get something for God and keep your mind on something for God, and then some nut want to talk about grandma stumping her toe the other day and suing their insurance company? Or something. Usually way worse than that. I had somebody call me the other day. They said, preacher, I wanted to wait until you got home because I didn't want to bother you at church. I said, thank you. I appreciate that. That was very thoughtful of you. Where do we go from here, y'all? Where do we go from here? Are we just going to sit around and keep coming every Sunday and stay? Or are we going to move on up and let's take this to the next level? Amen? All right. I'm going to tell you something. That's my new word. We said that at camp all this week down there in Florida, and it's funny. But we had a great time down there. I miss those kids. I got attached to them kids at camp this week. We had a black boy about this high kept wanting to play me in basketball, and I called him Tito. Ain't that one of Michael Jackson's? He looked like one of Michael Jackson's brothers. I said, you're Tito. And we called him that the whole week. I didn't know his name. He kept wanting to play me in basketball. You know, I beat them boys in basketball, and they listened to every word I said the rest of the week. I beat him 10-2, and his buddy thought he was a pro. I beat him 10-3, and the whole rest of the week, they listened to every word I said. They said, how you learn how to play basketball like that, man? I said, read your Bible every day. That's how. If you pray and live right, God might let yours go in when you throw it up there. No, I'm just kidding with them. But you know what? We ought to take to the next level. We're getting ready to go to camp next week. And if you don't go to camp, I don't know if you're going to heaven. I'm not your judge, but I doubt seriously if you'll be in heaven. Look, right here's the list. No, we're going to have a great time. We're going to have a great time. We're going to camp. And let's do this. Let's don't be content. Just say, we probably had 350 this morning, 313 Sunday school, probably over 350 for preaching. I don't know. Man, it does that. Out, run around somewhere. And maybe you say, Brother Danny, We'll just sort of kick back and enjoy things. No, let's don't. Let's pray. And let's work. And let's get our heart right. Here's what I want you to do. Let's get our heart right with each other. And let's get our heart right with God. It's not enough just to get our heart right with God. We've got to be right with each other. That don't mean we agree on everything. If I've said or done anything to hurt anybody in here, tonight I'm asking you to forgive me. And I mean that. I'm sorry. I didn't do it on purpose. I wouldn't hurt y'all on purpose for nothing in this world on purpose. If I have, I'm so sorry, and I'm sure I have. But I'm sorry. And you ought to do the same thing to me and each other. Yeah. Don't go... I had somebody come up to me one time and said, Brother Danny, I want you to forgive me. I said, for what? I said, I've been saying some bad things. I said, just don't tell me. You retard. Now I'm going to have hard feelings towards you. If you've just been doing something like that, ask the Lord to forgive you and don't tell me. I don't want to know it. It'll make me not like you. Amen. Now if I know it, come say, I'm sorry. And I say, okay, we'll hug next. Forgive. And I know some of y'all been talking about me because people come and tell me. You know if they'll gossip with you, they'll gossip about you, don't they? Yeah. So people do come tell me everything you say. Yeah. I mean, it always gets around. Yeah. So let's get it right tonight. Let's get it right tonight and see where God can bless us. All right? Let's stand. Come on, Brother Jason, Miss Desi. Let's sing something right quick. Somebody go out there and plug up our stuff. Brother Ron, and we're going to go play for a while.